So I'm going to start a new series, Follow Christ. And so far, I've got enough material to go throughout the entire year. No, I'm just kidding. But I do have several weeks of this planned. And I may even challenge you to be part of this in a more serious way. I will challenge you, so just prepare yourself for that. But the challenge is to be more like the Christ. And so my concern is that as you go through Scripture, did you know that the word Christian is only found about 3 times in Scripture? Did you know that? It's not a term Jesus used. It was a term that was described to the ones who followed Christ. Christ ones. See how that turned into Christians? So it's only actually mentioned about 3 times. However, the word disciple found in the New Testament is about 296 times. So let me back up a little bit. Has anybody here ever worked in a restaurant? Anybody ever been a server or worked in a restaurant anywhere? Oh, quite a few of you. Okay. Has anybody ever gone to a restaurant? So you kind of get the idea of restaurants, right? You've been there. You know what goes on around there. You come in. They bring you food. You eat. You pay. Right? So I was attending one of our local places, I was sitting in a nice sized group, and as I looked up, I noticed our server came, and this gal was on it. Man, she water, coffee, you didn't have to look around for her. She was on it. You know, you've been to the one, and you know the server's been there a while, and knows how to do this, right? You know what I mean? Like, you can walk into a restaurant, and you could say, can you sit me at that table? Because I know that one's going to serve well, right? Are you with me? Anybody? Yeah. Right. So I looked up, and this gal was on it. She was taking care of us. She had everything going. But about 4 to 5 feet from her all the time was a shadow. She would ask and get everybody's order. Now, she didn't write anything down. It was all in her head, right? He was back there, and he's taking notes, and he's watching. She's attending to us and making sure everybody, and she's got, not only does she do the job well, she's got personality that matches the table, right? And it just, she brings cheer that we start laughing and joking with her, and it's just an all-around pleasant experience, right? And he's taking notes, and he's watching, and okay, water, drinks. He's paying attention, and wherever she goes, he goes. It's just like, boom. Now he's not the manager, right? He had a badge even, trainee. I'm learning, and who does the manager stick the trainee with? The best experienced one, right? Because listen, when he's done following her around, he's going to be just like her, isn't he? And the restaurant wants all the servers to be like that one because that's the best one. People come back. She gets tipped well because you were served well, right? You know the ones that you don't tip quite as well. We're just only going to do the 20% here or 15% or whatever it is you guys minimum. But if it's really good, we're going all out. We're going to give a little extra $2 or 10 or whatever's appropriate and then some, right? You know what I mean? Are you following me? Are you tracking with me? They want the restaurant to run smoothly. They want it to go well. They want everything to be like that so the restaurant does good business, right? Flourishes. And next thing you know, they're opening another one down the street. Then, you know, right? Like, how many Nick's Diners are there in Surprise alone?
Three.
There's 4. Actually, the two guys that started it split up. One's Rich and one's Nick. Yeah. No, you're right. There's three now. Nick's only got the one, but he got a big place. And maybe you don't know this, but there's also a pizza restaurant that's owned by those guys too. So there is four. But they do well. And you walk in there and they do well. So I came across this verse in Luke chapter 6. It says this: the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be. Right? Now, what is the scripture referring to? Restaurants? No? He's talking about Jesus. Because Jesus begins his ministry, and I don't know if you know this or not, but when rabbis start, and Jesus was a rabbi or a teacher, right? He's the trainer, right? What the students to do, and he goes out, he comes down from the mountain being tempted by the evil one, right? He does well, he comes down and immediately starts collecting his guys, right? Hey, you, come follow me, right? Now, when the rabbi said, hey, come and follow me, this was a big deal, right? I mean, in the Jewish tradition, you can aspire to no greater thing than to be a student of the rabbi and then eventually become a rabbi. I mean, parents were not going around and go, hey, you should be a doctor or a lawyer or a... No, they wanted you to be a rabbi because nothing. There was no greater respect. There was no greater aspiration in the Jewish community than the rabbi itself, the one who taught the words of God, who brought life and meaning to the words of God. Are you with me? And so what would happen is the rabbi would come and he'd say, you are highly skilled. You are a good student. You look like you'll be a good prospect to follow me. Okay? And parents would come along and they would teach him the family business. If you were a fisherman or if you were a carpenter or if you were a builder of some sort or whatever it was your family business did, they would teach you that, but they would want you to study and learn and to be wise because only the wisest and greatest students could get to be followers of the rabbi, right? Are you following me? Are you tracking? You guys are awake, right? Do you need to get up and stretch? Oh, nothing like a good stretch, right? Did something happen?
No.
Oh, I'm not, okay. I stretched it too far, right? So, so the parents would go, listen, you're a good student and you do well, but you're not at the top of your class. Learn the family business. Serve your family. Take care of your family. The Lord will still bless you. But the very good ones, the rabbi would select. Now, Jesus goes out and he selects some guys. He goes, you, I want you to follow me. But these guys weren't the ones that were the greatest students. They were the one doing the family business. Right? But he saw something in them. Because when Jesus looks, he looks at the heart. He saw something in these guys and said, hey, you, come and follow me. Now, as the stories go throughout history, the rabbi would have his group of guys following around him, and they would follow him everywhere. And there would be, there's even the dust of the rabbi would fall upon the shoulders of his disciples, right? Because they'd walk around, they didn't have paved sidewalks, cement sidewalks, they had dirt, right? And even the rabbi would say, listen, I'm going into the restroom, don't follow me in here. He would have to say, listen, hey, I need a little time here, right? So Jesus goes out and he starts collecting his guys. He's got these followers and they follow him everywhere. Everywhere he goes. And he's teaching them. And if you read through Matthew, it goes from the temptation to this is my son and him I am well pleased. Oh, no, it goes from this is my son and him I am well pleased to the time of temptation, to coming down from the mountain, selecting his disciples, and then right into the Sermon on the Mount. Right? Now, the Sermon on the Mount is not one sermon, by the way, just in case you're wondering. It's a collection of the teachings or the trainings of Jesus to his disciples or his followers. So to be a follower of Jesus is not just, or to be a Christian is not just, hey, I got married in the church. Or when I was a kid, I went to catechism class. If you track with me, there's a whole lot of people that attach themselves to being a Christian, but there's nothing more than a claim to, yeah, I know Jesus. Except you look at their life and you go, I'm not so sure you do. Would you agree with me? And I'm afraid what Scripture is teaching us, I'm not afraid, I'm actually with this, I'm right on. But what I think Scripture is trying to tell us is that to be a Christian doesn't mean that you just say, hey, I went and I heard those lessons on the mountain. It's that I turned around and I followed Christ. I was a disciple and I did what he did and I walked what he walked and talked what he talked and I became like the Christ. So I want to have three conversations with you. So then we have a conversation here. So the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like the teacher. Be like the teacher. Be like the teacher is what I want to emphasize here. Now, the first discussion I want to have is the foundation of discipleship. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, it says this. Verse 47, it says, "For everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you that what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Now, there's all sorts of metaphors that Jesus uses when he talks about what it means to follow him, when he talks about being like the Christ, because really that's what he did, right? And he didn't follow there weren't just 12 disciples. In the passage, there was a time when he sent 70 of them out in pairs to go do the work, right? There were hundreds of disciples that were following him. And he's teaching them. He says, this is what it means to do this new way. I'm coming here to teach you that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and it's a whole new way. And I want you to be like me, he says, right? And so he could have used it's like a field of grain. And he does use that in different places. But right now he's trying to talk to you about foundations of what it means to be like the Christ. And he's using a building. And, you know, we don't really appreciate this passage as much as we should. Because most of you probably live in like a tract home or something like that. It was already there. You didn't build it yourself, right? You didn't go out there with the shovel and the backhoe and all that stuff. In fact, those guys didn't have backhoes when they were... They didn't have big machinery. They had a pickaxe, right? Sometimes you'll see these these videos on Facebook or whatever, these guys in the jungle building stuff with sticks, you know, and they're digging out holes with sticks and making little swimming pools or whatever. So what he's getting at is that in order to build a house, and thank you, I am a builder, so I know a little bit about this, is that you have to get down to the bedrock, to the solid rock. And sometimes you have to dig quite a ways. And depending on where you're at, it could be a few inches, it could be 10 feet. I've made friends with the guy who built the last building over at Point Loma, which is beautiful campus. Ask Brittany, she attends there and gets to see the ocean every day. But when I was talking to the guy that was building it, he said they had to dig the footings for that building. So basically, the big building sits on stilts that go 21 feet down before they found something solid. And there's several posts, and so that's the foundation. You have to go down and find something solid. Otherwise, when the rain comes, it sinks. Now, in the territory where Jesus is at, the top level soil is like clay. And during the summer dry season, it is as hard as can be. And you have to dig and chip and dig and chip. And so if it's that hard and you have to do that, why don't you just build on top of that? Because when it rains, and the scholar that did that study that I read about that said that the consistency of the clay when it rains is a bit like chocolate pudding. And the houses won't stand. And so, but the houses that get down to the bedrock that doesn't melt away when the rain comes, those are the houses that stand. And is he really talking about houses here? What's he talking about? Building your foundation on the Christ. Building your life on Jesus. Building your life on this faith. Right? And so when you start becoming a disciple, who are you a disciple of? Are you a disciple of Pastor Brian? No. I hope not. I mean, I've tried very hard to be like Jesus, and so I hope you see Jesus in me. Right? And so if you see Jesus in me, and hopefully I'm doing a good enough job or a good enough example that you begin to follow that. Be like me because I'm being like Jesus, right? What's my foundation? Jesus Christ. So, if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be disciples of the Christ, our goal is to be like the teacher. We're trainees now, right? We're the shadow following Jesus around, taking notes, right? Wherever he goes, I go. Whatever he says, I say. Whatever he does, I do. And then once I've tootled, is that a word? As long as I've learned under the tutelage of the master, then I will be like the teacher, right? The master, the Lord, right? The boss, El Jefe. The challenge of disciples. Discussion number two. If anybody told you that being like Christ was easy, they were a liar. Jesus even said this. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Ouch. Right? What does Lord mean? The boss, the master, the teacher, right? That's what it means. Why do you call me teacher, but don't do what I say? See, what he's getting at is that both the one who follows Christ and does what he says and the one who hears Christ but doesn't do what he says were in church together. They were in the same lesson. They sat on the mountainside. They both ate fish and bread. They both were there. They both heard the message, but not both of them built their house either on the solid ground. Some did, and some built their house on the topsoil, right? And so when the hard things come and the tough stuff happens, who's still around? Well, why? So this made me ask some other questions, by the way. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Well, I can think of some reasons why. I don't like being told what to do. And I know some of you like that. Some of you got a little attitude. Right? Don't tell me what to do. Don't point fingers right now. Come on now. Or, I have learned my whole life how to not be a Christian, and I've gotten used to it. I'd just as soon keep doing that. Stubborn. Look who mentioned it. Oh, I said don't point fingers. I love you, Gabriel. Can you think of why in the world would we not? I mean, if you want to be a Christian, this is a whole different way. And I talk with people all the time about how upset they are with the world. Listen, the world, they're not Christians. Don't expect them to act like it. They actually live out a different kind of world than what Christ expects us to live in. Now, what upsets me, what I get all agitated about, is when you call yourself a Christian but don't look anything like the Christ. Which is what he's saying here, right? If you want to be a Christian, you have to be a disciple of the one Christ. And being a disciple means that you don't just hear what he says, but you do what he says. Not that you don't just hear the words, but you are transformed by the words. And you study his life in such a way that you begin to walk his life out in everything you do. If you want to be powerful and effective in the world, start being like the powerful and effective one. You want to change the world? And I do. I am one of those people that naively or not, I believe I can change the world. Because I live my life following the one who does change the world. He says he gives me the power to do it. He hasn't lied yet. I think I'm just slow. Are you with me? Do you know what I mean? I will turn 45 this year, and it's taken me this long to get this far. I got so much further to go. But I'm not going to give up. Discussion number 3. Be a disciple maker. Matthew says this, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We don't like that part. Matter of fact, I've heard people complain about their wedding vows. That obey was in there. I just asked the pastor to take that out because I'm not obeying this guy. You know who you are. And quite frankly, sometimes he's not leading very well and should not be obeyed, right? But listen, sometimes he asks us to be forgivers. Sometimes he asks us to be gracious. I mean, isn't that the example that Christ was giving to us? Give grace. Give mercy. Befriend those who are mean. Now, it'd be easier if I could only befriend the ones that are like me. It'd be much easier. If you look like me, talk like me, walk like me, then I don't have any problems with you because I like me. I'm great. I love me. I'm super. Right? But then there's people in your life who don't think you're all that. And I'd just as soon not be friends with them, right? Because they're wrong. I am all that. Are you with me, though? Do you see what I'm saying, though? But Christ says, no. Befriend the friendless. Father to the fatherless. Help the widow and the orphan. Feed those who are hungry. Does that mean me? Because I am always hungry. Just feed me. But listen, obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, this is the promise, and surely I am with you sometimes? Always. How far? To the end of my block? Only in my church. How far? So, now's the challenge time. I've talked with most of you in this room, and most every one of you claims to be a Christian. Is that true? So I'm here to challenge you. Be a disciple. Be a follower of Christ. Get to know who Christ is. And that's going to be my goal for the next 10 weeks. Don't sigh on me. Come on, we're followers of the Christ. We're going to talk about Christ. Woo-hoo. Oh boy, this is going to be a long 10 weeks. But I want you guys to dig in. Can I challenge you to dig in? Can I challenge you to say, okay, I have laid claim to being a Christian, and that doesn't mean you're a Republican. That doesn't mean you're a Democrat. It doesn't mean what the world says it is. It means Jesus Christ is the Christ, and being a Christ one means that's the one I'm following. Not what the world has called it, what Christ is doing. So can I challenge you to dig in? And what that means is show up. What I mean by that is show up. Come to church. Let me challenge you. I will do my very best. And if you remember, we did this a few years ago. This is kind of what I'm still working with this. I haven't given up on this. So you guys are currently sitting in the, right? And what I promise you is I'll do my very best to show you the Christ. So that when you come here, and I don't want to just be a talking head. When you come here, I will pour out information, knowledge, with the idea that when you come here and gather that, that it begins to transform who you are. Right? That you don't just come here and listen for 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour and a half or whatever it is. But you come and you gather as much as you can. Be the trainee. Take notes. Learn who Jesus is. And begin to apply that to your walk everywhere you go. You know what? He might ask you to trust Him. He might ask you to change some of your habits. He might ask you to tithe something. Do you know when He asks you to tithe, He's not asking for your money, really? He's asking for your trust. He's promised to provide and take care of you, and when you tithe, you are trusting that He will. He might ask you to do something, but I want to say to you, you can trust Him. And two, I'm hoping you will, and you will see that He is trustworthy along this journey. Are you with me? Okay, there's challenge number one. The chair time. I'm going to write... It takes a little bit to write each one of those each week, and they kind of follow along the sermon, because I get it. You come on Sunday, and you go back out into the world, and sometimes you lose it, right? What did Pastor say? Or what was Jesus saying that Pastor told us about, right? And so Brenda is really good about sending those out in the morning. And go see Kevin and make sure he gets your email address and sign up for that. And it'll come in your email, and you can just pull that up. You can print it out if you're a printout kind of person, and you can make notes on it, whatever you like. But maybe that'll help where you get that one-on-one alone time with God. And that one-on-one alone time with God is where you can open up your heart to Him and just kind of maybe just start talking and reading a scripture and finding about what Jesus is doing in the world and how that can change our world and change our lives and change who we are to be more like the Christ. So we can be followers of Christ, right? And then, so I'm going to ask you, can I ask you for the next 10 weeks, would you mind getting into the chair time? Maybe you spend a little time with Christ each morning. Maybe you learn to trust Him more and more over the next 10 weeks. And then I also want to challenge you about the circle. What's the circle? Small groups. You guys are so brilliant. Yeah. I call it circle, but I'm not fooling you, right? It's like calling Hope Builds in the morning. Everybody knows it's Sunday school. Which, by the way, it's really good lately. You should come. Let me challenge you to get in a circle group. There are several circle groups that are still going on. Maureen's got one. I've got one. Minner's got one for the men. Maureen does one for the women. There's the breakfast club in Saturday mornings, and we've changed locations. If you got tired of the old Kate Corral, oh, Golden Corral. Or maybe the Lord's calling you to start one. There's also the Gap group. The children's have their own circle group in there on Sundays. Wednesday night, the teens have circle group here. But it's that idea that together we are stronger. Emily told the story the other day about when she was in Sunday school and Maureen was the teacher. And she gave them each a string. And she said, okay, you guys, who's the strongest? Who can break that string? And they pulled and they pulled and pulled. And sure enough, they broke that string. And whoever went first, and if you know Emily, she's got a little competition in her blood. She was going to be first. Whether she could or not, she was going to make sure it happened, right? And then Maureen did a funny thing. She gave them three strings and made them twist it together and then had them pull. And they could not break the string. And she said that was a memory she had from Sunday school that impacted her. Listen, because together we are stronger. Together we can lean on each other. Together, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And sometimes you are going to face something in life that will just break you. And you need somebody to lean on. And so maybe you're not currently in a circle group, but maybe you ought to start one. Maybe the Lord's been talking to you. I'm not in a circle group. Get in one. Study together, learn together, work together. Link your arms together and grow together in the Lord. And maybe you're facing something that you don't know what the answer is. And you need to ask somebody. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he said he had an interaction with a guy who was part of his circle group. This was a buddy of mine in another church. He says, listen, do you know I love you? The guy goes, absolutely. We've been hanging together for years now. He says, yeah, years now. So I want to challenge you on something, he said. And know that it comes because I love you. The guy says, okay, I can accept that. He says, listen, you are part of three fantasy football leagues. You do cycling. This guy was one of those motorcycle guys that they jump these ramps and do these dirt tracks. You do cycling twice a week easily. but I've never seen you serve in any function other than yourself. And I want to challenge you. Maybe you join something and you serve somebody else. Because I know that when you serve somebody else, it helps you grow in Christ. Because that's what Christ did. He came to serve. He says, I want to challenge you. Maybe do one or two less of your fantasy footballs and you join a service that the church is doing where they help the homeless. And the guy did. He took it. He says, okay, you're right. I do. I do nothing but serve myself and do only thing for my pleasure. But I want to be better. I want to be a better Christian. And so if that's going to help, I'm going to give it a try. And he did. He joined the weekend deal where that church went out and they went clear downtown and fed the homeless. He said it changed his life. He said, I've never done anything like that before. I've never seen people like that. And for me to be there and just give was life altering. And those of you who've done it know that it is, don't you? Would you agree with me? And it grew him just that little bit much more. Matter of fact, it changed him so much, he said, what else can I get into? That guy eventually became a pastor. So that he could then disciple others in the same way. See, not only are we to be disciples of the Christ, to follow him, to learn who he is, be the trainee, but we're also supposed to then be sent out. Once we've learned from the teacher, we will then be like the teacher. And being like the teacher means that we then begin to teach. We then begin to have our own disciples. Are you with me? So this is my challenge for you. Come. Be all in. And listen, okay, hey, if you have family in town or something goes on, Kevin promises to make sure it gets on the internet. So if you miss a service, I'm putting Kevin on the spot and he got really nervous. He's starting to sweat now. It's okay. We got it figured out. We're going to put the messages online. And so if you miss one, go online and listen to it. Sign up for the, make sure you see Kevin and get your name, your email so we can send you the chair time. Start digging in. Start getting involved. Make this a priority in your life that you become more like the Christ. Amen. One of the things Christ did as he exampled life for us, he would often call his guys together, and Pastor James is going to help me here. And there was a time when he sat at the table and he says, listen, you guys walked with me. I've taught you all there is to teach. You are now ready. And I'm going to go. And where I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But while you're here, you are now the disciple makers.